Please turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Last week we began our time together by describing hope. Hope is a confident expectation that God will do what he said he will do. Now, scripturally, hope is linked to the truths of faith and trust. Hope is a difficult concept to grasp, and the reason for that is because our contemporary usage of the word implies a lack of certainty. We hope for this, or we hope that it doesn't do this. We have big plans for one day, and so we hope it doesn't rain. Or we hope our team wins. And because of that contemporary usage of the word hope, I think it has undermined our biblical word and given us an opinion that hope is something that may or may not happen. A dictionary definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. And that's pretty accurate in our usage of the word hope in a non-biblical sense. But biblical hope is different. And Peter helps us understand this. And let's look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Peter clarifies for us that our hope, biblical hope, is alive. And this is important for us, and I'm going to give you 10 things this morning. The Johnsons are in Tennessee with Mark's mom, so there was no Lakes Ledger this morning. There's no sermon outline this morning. I hope you'll find something to write on and just jot down these things. 10 things, we're going to go through them quickly from verse 3 and a little bit beyond, and let me just say that what we're doing here this morning is we're going to be kicking off what I'll be looking at on Wednesday mornings during Facebook Live at 11 o'clock if you're interested in continuing on with this look at biblical hope. So first of all, the source of our confidence is God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So our hope is rooted in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see TV commercials that advertise all sorts of things. We have celebrities who pitch to us that we should buy this kind of car or this insurance or this soap or whatever it is. But our confidence isn't in a mere celebrity. Our confidence is in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of biblical hope. Secondly, we notice that the conduit of our hope is God's mercy. From God to us because of his rich mercy. So we have it on good authority, God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, because of his mercy, he has saved us, which has given us this hope. So the conduit of our hope is mercy. Number three, God saved us, and Peter uses the terminology of John 3, of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. We are born again. This is our salvation. This is our redemption. This is the salvation that we have from our sin. This is what Phil was talking about in Joy to the World. Jesus has conquered sin. And our salvation is because of God the Father, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this salvation is secure. It's not based on our feeling of what we want to happen. It's based on the reality of who God is, who Jesus is, and his mercy. So we've been born again, and this is great language, and this year just seems like the angel's words to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1 have been ringing in my head all this Christmas season. You will call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And this is what Peter is speaking of in this new birth. Number four, this new birth is ours because of the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Our belief in the resurrection is what saves us. That's what Paul said to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, it's impossible to be saved without a belief in the resurrection. It's impossible to be saved without a belief that Jesus is Lord. And so this hope that we have is based in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We enjoy celebrating Christmas. And probably in many ways, it's a whole lot bigger deal to us than Easter is, as far as the celebration goes. But it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ that guarantees our salvation and our belief. So our hope is connected to Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Fifth, our salvation is a spiritual adoption. We see this confirmed in Romans. This guarantees our inheritance. We see this in Ephesians 1. This is a new relationship with the Lord, and we have this common belief in the world, and maybe this common belief even in the so-called Christian world, that people are born again or people become children of God because of their own goodness, because of their religious acts or their religious rituals. But that's not the case. As we've seen in the Gospel of John, chapter 1 recently, last week, this new birth, this relationship, this becoming sons of God is God's gift to us. It's not automatic or something that we can earn. Number six, look at verse 4. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Those three words there are awesome. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading. I don't know if Peter is trying to get us to draw a line from 1 Peter 1:4. Back to Matthew chapter 6, where he talks about laying up treasure in heaven for ourselves. It can't rust. The vermin can't eat it, and thieves can't take it. But I think if you take some time this week to meditate on these truths, these three words, and connect them back to Matthew chapter 6, our inheritance, the inheritance that Paul speaks of to the church in Ephesus, that is ours because we've been adopted as children of God, the book of Romans, this inheritance cannot be diminished in any way whatsoever. So if we think of the contemporary usage of hope and apply it to our inheritance, we hope that our inheritance won't be diminished in any way whatsoever. But Peter tells us, on the authority of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, that there is no way that our inheritance can be diminished whatsoever. And this inheritance is ours because we've been born again. So our inheritance cannot be diminished, it cannot be polluted, it cannot be reduced in any way. Number seven, Notice that our inheritance is being held for us in heaven. Anne's been doing a lot of Christmas baking this year, as she usually does. Not as much this year because we didn't have an elders' open house. But, you know, it's interesting that there are times when she bakes things, and, well, she usually puts them out on the table in the garage, which is just an awful place to put Christmas cookies, because every time you want to go to the car, you have to go past the table full of Christmas cookies. The temptation is, every time you go in and out of the door, you want to take one of those cookies. And little by little, those cookies can disappear. But there are times when Anne will say, this particular plate, or these particular cookies, or whatever it is, don't touch those. They're being saved. Well, God has said that about our inheritance. Our inheritance is protected by God Himself. This, our inheritance, the existence of our inheritance is based on how we feel, or what we want to happen, or what we wish will happen. There's a guaranteed certainty because of where our inheritance is being kept. And if you look, the eighth thing in verse 5, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Our salvation, our inheritance, is being guarded by God Himself. My salvation is so certain because it's being guarded by the all-powerful God that I don't have to wonder if God is somewhere, somehow going to slip, going to lose it, going to allow it to be diminished. It's being guarded by the all-powerful God, and there is no way at all that my salvation can be diminished in in one way or another. It can't be defiled. It won't fade. It won't lose its luster. So number 9, my confidence in the Lord is strengthened by faith. Ephesians tells us that faith is a gift to us by God. Here's the certainty of our faith. God is the author of my faith. God is the one who gave me my faith. And it can't be diminished in any way whatsoever. And this isn't based on a wishy-washy, I wish this would happen. This is fact. It's guarded by God, and it is protected by the faith that God has given me. And finally, number 10, look at verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. The result of this awareness that God is the source of my salvation. God is guarding my salvation. God won't allow my inheritance to be diminished in any way. This results in joy. Even though there are things all around me that distract me from joy. The trials of life that Peter speaks of here. And certainly Peter knew of those trials. The result of this awareness is joy. Look at verse 8. It's rejoicing with joy. What an emphasis. Rejoicing with joy. Our life may have trials. It does. Our life does have trials. There are things that go wrong and things that happen that we wish wouldn't happen. There are bad things. But there is no one, there is nothing that can take away from my salvation. No one can detract from that. And this is my confidence in the Lord, that even though I'm going through a trial, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, my confidence is in the Lord. I know He is my salvation. He is my joy. He saved me. He has gone to prepare a place for me. We alluded to that last week, John 14. He is protecting my inheritance with His power. You wouldn't trust too many people to guard those plates of Christmas cookies. But God is guarding our salvation. And there's no one who can take away from my salvation. And Peter says, the Lord will reveal it at just the right time. We don't know when we're going to die, but we know that unless the Lord returns, we will die. And our inheritance will be revealed at just the right time. This is our hope. This is our confidence. This is without a doubt our expectation. Our hope isn't like the world hopes. A wish, a desire, a want. We hope this will happen. Our hope, biblical hope, is a confident expectation that God will do what He says He will do. And this is biblical hope. And it leads to joy, rejoicing with joy, because we know our salvation is guaranteed.